This is the Quality News Network. By an overwhelming majority, lawmakers voted to extend a moratorium on Internet access to taxes for 7 years. The bill also includes legislation that prohibits taxation on email and instant messaging services. The American dream is becoming more affordable. U.S. home prices fell for the 8th straight month. Economists expect the Federal Reserve will cut rates again at the end of a 2-day meeting starting today. The Consumer Confidence Index fell this month, with Christmas just 8 weeks away. This is the lowest reading since October 2005, when Hurricane Katrina forced the closure of many oil refineries, causing oil prices to soar. President Bush criticized Congress for failing to send him any appropriation bills, even though the government started a new budget year on October 1st. The Pentagon says there were fewer U.S. military fatalities in October than there have been for 2 years. As of Tuesday afternoon in Iraq, the total is 37 troop deaths. U.S. officials say there are problems in the ongoing investigation into a September incident in which 17 Iraqi civilians were killed by Blackwater security guards. The State Department gave the guards immunity from prosecution. Officials say it will be difficult to bring criminal charges in the case. The 5 permanent members of the UN Security Council and Germany are expected to meet toward the end of the week to discuss new sanctions against Iran. So far, Iran has ignored demands to suspend its uranium enrichment program. According to U.S. Envoy Christopher Hill, North Korea is cooperating in its effort to disable its nuclear program by the end of the year. Hill will meet with his North Korean counterpart in Beijing today. Japan's mission assisting NATO forces in Afghanistan expires this week. In Tokyo today, the country's 2 largest political parties failed to agree on an extension of the use of Japanese naval forces in the Indian Ocean. Negotiations continue. For the 16th straight year, the United Nations General Assembly voted overwhelmingly to urge the U.S. to lift its 4-decade-old embargo against Cuba. The General Assembly voted 184 in favor of lifting the sanctions and 4 against. In Kandahar province today, a NATO soldier was killed in combat. 2 others, 1 an Afghani, were wounded. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business coming up next.
You know you can depend on QNN for honest news. Now we want you to know about an honest source of information on one of the country's most desirable vacation destinations, Carmel by the Sea on California's beautiful Central Coast. That source is the best address in Carmel, carmel.com. Just a few simple clicks and you're visiting a website that mirrors all that Carmel stands for: quality, character, tradition, beauty, the great outdoors by the sea, cultural heritage, and the best shopping, charming inns, superb dining, world-class art, music, and theater, a cornucopia of delights. So when you're planning your next getaway, go to the best address in Carmel, carmel.com, for tips on everything Carmel. Then put that information to good use by visiting Carmel by the Sea for an unforgettable getaway. Carmel.com.
Residents in northern Cuba are hunkering down while Tropical Storm Noel is hovering over the island and expected to move out tomorrow. Noel left a deadly wake in the Dominican Republic, where 16 people died and 16 are missing. Astronauts on the International Space Station spotted a rip in a solar panel. The astronauts are installing a new solar panel today. Discovery is scheduled to undock from the space station on Monday and return to Earth November 7th. The use of cholesterol and blood pressure drugs is increasing faster for young people than the elderly. According to an industry report, the U.S. study says there are higher rates of obesity and doctors are becoming more aggressive with treatment. Oil prices fell slightly today on word that Mexican oil production is returning to normal. That didn't keep oil prices from rising overnight. The average price rose 1.5 cents overnight. And on Wall Street today, the Dow Jones ended down 77 points at 13,792. Light sweet crude oil was trading down $3.15 at $90.38 a barrel. The Nasdaq was unchanged today, and the S&P 500 was down 10 points. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Claudia Eisman.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. It's the Week in Review. Every now and then, I like to lay back and discuss, a number of topics that, maybe each one doesn't deserve a whole show devoted to, but things that you need to know about. And also, I want to encourage you to call in today and let me know what's on your mind. I was out wandering around Washington, D.C. last night and happened to drive by the Capitol fairly late at night, and the light was on. And those of us that live in Washington know that when the light at the top of the Capitol dome is on late into the night, it means that Congress is still in session. And I was impressed. It was about 11 o'clock. Congress was still in session. It's interesting, for all the attacks that Congress has undergone by people on the left and the right, it should be noted this Congress has broken a record. There has never been a higher number of votes taken by any Congress in American history as this Congress. The previous record of 942 votes by this date was set in 1978, and this Congress has taken 943 votes. It's interesting because, of course, the president is constantly condemning Congress for getting nothing done, and yet they have gone almost twice as much as the Republicans did last year. Last year, at this time, the Republicans had 543 votes, or about half that many. The Senate has less than the House. I know the House because I used to work there. But it held 363 votes, surpassing last year's 279 votes. Why do I bring this up? Look, I will condemn Congress on a number of things, and many of you will attack it even more than I do. And in fact, I do want to talk today about some of the things that Congress is not doing that they should be doing. But it's also clear that the Democrats and Bush, I think, are misunderstanding the polls that show that Congress is held in low esteem. And those polls, I think, are often used the wrong way and for nefarious purposes. When the American people give the president of the United States an approval rating of less than 30%, that is attributable to him. That is attributable to his policies. If Hillary Clinton becomes president next year, it will be attributable to her policies, and then I can say his or her. But for now, it's attributable to George Bush. It's his fault that his polls are so low. When Americans give Congress low approval ratings, it means something entirely different. It's very different to name a group of people of an incredibly various amount of views and to name a single person. After all, the same polls that show Congress's ratings in the 20s also show that people like their representative more than 50% of the time. So why are people so angry at Congress? Well, it's clear why the Republicans are angry at Congress. They're angry because the Democrats are in charge. The Democrats were angry when the Republicans are in charge. For that reason, Congress, unlike the president, virtually never has more than a 50% approval rating, simply because the party out of power doesn't like it very much. But Congress is also low among Democrats as well. And those of us at the horn know the reason. We on the left are angry at Congress for not going far enough, at the same time as those on the right are arguing that Congress has gone too far. So we're both unhappy with Congress, but for entirely different reasons. And that's really important because there's a suggestion by some Democrats that they need to work more with Republicans, they need to work more with the president because of Congress's low approval rating. I would suggest that is entirely backwards. If Congress works more with Republicans, they won't get more approval ratings by Republican voters. That won't help them at all. Indeed, their approval ratings will go down because the Republicans won't trust any Democratic majority, no matter how compromising to the president. And the Democrats, you and me, will not be happy that the Democrats are compromising too much. So if they compromise more, I say their approval rating will go down, not up. They're taking polls in exactly the wrong direction. Meanwhile, the president is condemning the Democratic Congress, saying it has the worst record in 20 years. Boy, is that not the pot calling the kettle black? The president of the United States, the worst spender in American history. I mean, even if you're simply a fiscal conservative and you don't care about poor children, and you don't care about working people, and you love war, you're a true Republican in the way I defined it yesterday on the Halloween show. Even if you're a fiscal conservative, you can't be happy with a Republican Congress that spent so much money, wasting money, on military contractors, billions of dollars for no-bid contracts and oil companies and things like that. And yet, Bush is condemning the Democratic Congress. Bush said, "The House of Representatives has wasted valuable time on a constant stream of investigations. And the Senate has wasted valuable time on an endless series of failed votes to pull our troops out of Iraq." Oh boy, you know what's bugging the president? Of course he doesn't like being investigated. He's used to the first 6 years of his presidency when the Republican Congress said, "Mr. President, whatever you say, we rubber stamp. You want to torture people? Rubber stamp. You want to spy on the American people? Rubber stamp. You want to abandon the Bill of Rights of the Constitution and create a police state like the Soviet Union or East Germany? You go ahead, Mr. President. You claim there is weapons of mass destruction in Iraq? We won't ask questions. You want to dismiss all the prosecutors for political reasons? Fine by us. You want to take taxpayer dollars and spend hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars, wasted on all your friends and allies in Iraq? Fine by us." There's no wonder that the president is mad at the investigations. And one thing I'd like to explore this hour is the scope of the investigations and to give some props to one of my favorite members of Congress, Henry Waxman, the chairman of the Government Oversight Committee, used to be of my district when I lived in Los Angeles, California. This is a man who knows how to investigate and is doing a terrific job. And so the president doesn't want the Senate to continue to vote to leave Iraq. Well, no wonder he doesn't. He wants us to simply salute and ask no questions. It's true, though, that the Congress isn't going as far as it should go. One of the things that bothers me most, And I argue that Harry Reid is actually worse than Nancy Pelosi, but understanding that Harry Reid has to get 60% of his body to do something, and Nancy Pelosi only needs to get 50.1% of her body, the House of Representatives. Nonetheless, one of the most disgusting things that Reid said just recently is that they're not going to explore the question of the equity firms, the private equity firms, who make hundreds of millions of dollars each person. The deals, they make multi-billion dollar deals. Each person working there makes hundreds of millions of dollars. And yet they pay taxes at a rate less than your average McDonald's burger flipper, less than your average diner waitress. People who work very long hours at very low pay, less than your apple picker. Now, I know they're paid more. I get that. They get $300 million, and the apple picker might, if he's lucky and speaks English, get minimum wage. I get that. I'm not complaining about that aspect of capitalism, at least not at this moment. What I'm complaining about is the fact that the burger flipper pays twice the percentage of taxes. If he makes $10,000 a year or $20,000 a year, all right, he's going to have to pay 28% on that. Maybe if he makes $50,000 a year. I have to look at the figures. But the equity managers who make hundreds of millions of dollars, they get it at the capital gains rate, 15%. They pay half the percentage. So you can see a case where somebody's making millions of dollars, right, and they pay half the percentage of somebody that's making just a few thousand dollars a year. Well, Harry Reid's not going to do that, not going to explore that this year, and I regret it, largely because we know that a number of lobbying firms are paying millions of dollars to keep their billions of dollars tax break. No surprise there. I'm going to take a break now and give you folks a chance to call in. If you want to comment on any of the issues of the week, and there's a lot to talk about, give us a call, 877-4HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. If you want to comment on the Halloween show yesterday specifically, I'd like to hear from you. Let me know what you thought of me acting as a conservative Republican. We'll be right back with more of the Inside Scoop right after this.
This is the Head-On Radio Network.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right.
We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Here's the guy changing the way you hear music, Billy Shears.
Tune in to Night Sounds every Saturday night, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. You'll hear the latest in new music releases, special segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications with the sassy and classy Erica Richards. For requests and dedications, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. So tune in and stop by the chat room this Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Hey. Thanks for lending an ear.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fixed stuff. Did some art projects with the kids.
Cleaned up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed.
And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I can do everything now.
Yeah!
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. It's the Week in Review. All topics are valid. Feel free to give a call, 877-443-2366, 874-HEAD-ON. Tell me what you think about how Congress is doing. I know many of you condemn the Democratic Congress for not going far enough, and to some extent I agree with you on some issues, certainly, but I also think it's important to recognize the things they are doing right, and to recognize in a strange way that when we condemn the Democratic Congress, they're taking the wrong message sometimes and moving towards the president, the exact wrong way to go. Before the break, I was talking about it's called the carried interest provision, which sounds very technical, and it is technical, but it really isn't, and you need to understand it. What it means is that when these people who really do very little, they put companies together, they tear them apart, I don't know that they really create anything, but they happen to make hundreds of millions of dollars in the process. And they only pay 15% taxes on it, whereas the highest rate for people who don't do this kind of work is 35%. So they're paying less than half the rate. Now, they have put $5.5 million into lobbying firms to try to protect their little tax cut. Their little tax advantage. $5.5 million. That sounds like a lot of money. It's chicken feed to these people. You know why? Because they make $6 billion a year just in saved taxes. Okay, they make hundreds of billions a year in fees. All right? In the tax savings, in other words, the money that could be going to the government, that they're taking out, money that could go to children's health care or anything else, is $6 billion. So for less than $6 million, they make $6 billion. Now, nowhere in Las Vegas can you get 1,000 times your money, at least not without a much greater than a 1,000 chance of losing your money. Think about this. You put down $6, you get back $6,000. You put down $6,000, you get back $6 million. You put down $6 million, and you get $6 billion. Harry Reid is protecting these people. Now, to be fair, and we should be fair, Majority Leader Harry Reid does support ending this favoritism. He doesn't think he can get past the 60 votes. But I say put it to the votes, make the Republicans filibuster, show how it is that a few people making billions of dollars are so worthy of Republican protection. And let Republicans explain why someone who makes $500 million a year should only pay 15% of their taxes, while someone struggling with two or three jobs at the minimum wage has to pay a lot greater percent of their taxes. It's not only not progressive taxation, it's regressive taxation. But on the other hand, I think Congress is doing very well when it comes to the S-CHIP program. Like I said, I tend to prefer the House over the Senate, maybe because it's a more democratic place where 50.1% can get something done. But Nancy Pelosi, I think, did the right thing in bringing up S-CHIP again. The president vetoed it. The override failed. She did it one more time. She brought it right back to him. She made compromises with the Republicans. Compromises, I should say, that didn't really hurt the bill. Things to mostly get rid of the rhetoric. Things like, okay, we won't pay more than someone who's three times poverty, which they weren't doing anyway. But they put it explicitly in the bill. You know, things like illegal aliens won't get it. Okay, fine. You know, putting that all in the bill and urging the Republicans to pass it again. And the Republicans cried foul. How dare the Democrats, after failing to override the president's veto, bring up the bill again? Why, that's just wrong. It's just so wrong to bring up a bill supported by 80% of the American people, supported by every Democrat, or 99% of them, and, you know, a good 20-30% of Republicans. It's so wrong to bring health care to American children. As George Bush said, quote, "The Senate is wasting valuable time by taking up the children's health insurance bill." Wasting valuable time. The same president, remember, that had the Senate go all night long, in protesting, filibustering against the Democrats, angry that the Democrats were actually filibustering the president's judicial veto back when the Republicans were in power, and the president appointed a number of extremist judges, and the Democrats are filibustering them. The Republicans stayed all night long to argue they got to get their extremists on the bench, even though they knew the Democrats wouldn't budge. Wasn't that a waste of valuable time? Oh, no, no, you see, those judges would have protected fetuses. That's right. They would protect blastocysts, which is the one cell that comes together when a sperm and an egg combine. They would have protected those valuable cells. The Republicans are very clear. The Senate needs to stay up all night, day after day after day, and protect multi-celled proto-humans. But when they become babies, throw them in the trash can. After all, we have enough babies. Who needs babies? Kill babies. Save the fetus. Kill the babies. That's the Republican way. If you want to call in, by the way, I said many of these things on the Halloween show yesterday, and I'm curious to see how many of you heard it and what you thought of it. Sue writes on the blog that she felt that Mike Lane, the Republican, really didn't understand the liberal point of view as well as I understood the conservative point of view. And it actually was eye-opening for her, because even though Mike Lane annoys her, it shows that he really has no idea where we're coming from. I think I do know where Republicans are coming from. And that's one of the things I could express yesterday, admittedly with a bit of theater and a bit of laughter. But Republicans are coming either from the Christian fundamentalist, Bible-thumping, take the Bible literally, believe everything I wanted to say, including anti-gay things and anti-abortion things, but don't look at the other stuff, like kosher laws and mixed threads and slavery. But take it literally where I want to take it literally and don't where I don't want to. Basically, Republicans hate sex because they're afraid that somewhere, somebody other than them is having some fun. That's why they hate drugs too. But it's also about pure selfishness. And that's where these tax provisions come into play. It's about a people who truly rejected the message of Jesus of Nazareth, who talked about caring for the poor, who said it's easier for a rich man to go through, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven. They reject it, and they truly believe in the party of selfishness. They believe that whatever they earn, they get to keep, and whatever their grandparents and great-grandparents earn, they get to keep as well. And it's that basic difference, Republicans saying, all for me, and Democrats saying, no, we have to look out for each other, that I would argue is the basic difference between the parties. Bob Kincaid, I understand you want to jump in this discussion.
Well, I kind of do, Mark.
Go right ahead.
Because when you were done yesterday, I made a slightly separate point as I began my show. And that is that you proved a point very, very well, because while, yeah, you were it was a little theatrical, a little over the top, and Art, God knows so was Mike, what you did do is you pointed out something, because you were actually convincing as a right winger.
Oh no, that's scary.
and the point
was
here,
I really?
Yeah, sure you were, sure you were. The point here is that you proved something that I have asserted on a number of occasions, and that is a lot of what separates liberal and progressive talkers from right-wing hate radio hacks is the fact that for them it's shtick. At the end of the day, they go home, they have their, you know, hummingbird tongue dinner or whatever they're getting paid $29 million a year to do, and the next day they get up and they go in and they just lie through their teeth again. Whereas the stuff that you do and others on this network is far more considered, far more nuanced, and frankly, far more honest. Right wing talk is a shell game, a game of three card Monte, a freak show.
It's also very easy. It's easier. It was easier for me to play the role of a right winger, I've got to say, than to do what I do every day here on the Horn. Yesterday was the easiest show I've ever done because I didn't have to think very much. I just had to give platitude after platitude.
Yeah, one bumper sticker after the next.
Right. Cliche after cliche. And while I was laughing at myself as I was doing it, it was incredibly, sadly easy. Because I didn't have to use logic. I didn't have to use fact. I didn't have to think through what I was saying, as I normally do on the air. I simply shouted a bumper sticker. And
they
I
hate
anything.
Your Bible. Oh, yeah, I know.
That was part of the fun, admittedly, of playing such a stupid character. You know, I mean, I remember saying during the show things like, you hate God, don't you? You hate America. You know, when the rapture comes, they're going to take us. All the kinds of things that aren't argument. They're things that no one can respond to. They're stupid things, but by saying them, it makes you sound powerful. It like I said, it was amazingly easy to do, sadly.
Yeah, yeah. Let me take you to a different place for just a moment, if I could, Mark.
Okay, go right ahead.
You know, it was a week ago today that you had Rabbi Fellner on.
Right.
And what an amazing, humane, decent,
great,
considered person he is. I'm still...
He is the reason why I can still have faith. I still have a religious sensibility, and I understand why you've rejected it, and I understand it based on your background, but now you can see from my background where my religious sensibility comes from, and it's an entirely different place.
Oh, without a doubt. I certainly can. Toward that end, I want to take it... Are you familiar with the indictment of David Brooks?
I'm not. Tell me about it.
David Brooks was the CEO, head honcho of a defense contracting company that was in charge of providing body armor to our soldiers and Marines in the stinking bloody sands of Iraq.
Okay.
It turns out his company wasn't very good at making body armor.
Oh, they're
armor.
The ones that built, yeah, they built the government for I forget how many billions, and then they couldn't find out where all the money went.
Well, not only that. Well, we know where some of the money went now. David Brooks billed the company $10 million for his 13-year-old daughter's bat mitzvah.
Oh, no.
which featured flying Aerosmith in on the company plane to the tune of $1 million, a performance by 50 Cent, and a performance by Don Henley.
And that was taxpayer funded. Great.
Company
reminds me of Duke Cunningham's pissing sculpture. I think it was pissing vodka.
Yeah, well, that came up last night because Eugene Finnerman, the best satirist on the internet, joined me for a brief conversation about it last night. And the question I asked him was that, you know, I'm not hanging you out to dry on this one, but when you contrast the beautiful humanity, the existential humanity of somebody like Rabbi Fellner. And whoever it was that was part of the process on this bat mitzvah, do you see where organized religion of any stripe really takes a nosedive with me?
I am in no way saying that you know all Jews are in any way honest or good or you know listen there are crooks everywhere in every religious faith and atheists too, and we've got quite a few of them in our faith as well. I don't deny that. They're crooked rabbis as well, just like they're crooked ministers and crooked imams. I'm not claiming any superiority of Judaism. The only, if you will, superiority is a terrible word, but let's say the only faith that I'm highly recommending is my own brand of Judaism, which largely comes, I have to admit, from people like Rabbi Fellner. He has played a major role in the development of how I see religion. So I'm not speaking highly of Judaism per se, so much as I am of Rabbi Fellner's brand of Judaism, to which I, you know, heartily.
No, I understand all of that completely. What I'm trying to get at is the idea of, and this is where I'm taking it. What's that old saying? The only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing.
Right.
This is a case of that. I mean, they invited, it's a 13-year-old's birthday party for all intents and purposes.
It's terrible. It's terrible how people have done this with bat mitzvahs. They do it with weddings, and some Jewish families do it with bat mitzvahs.
I'm sure there were more grown-up defense contractor cronies there than 13-year-olds enjoying a party.
Yeah, probably.
$10 million, Mark.
Probably so. No,
of your money and my money. Now the guys.
My niece just had a bat mitzvah, and we had hundreds of people there. And I assure you, it was nothing like that. It was a good party, but it speaks of lots of things. It speaks first of all of the materialistic culture that we have in America, particularly among the super rich, where people have got so much money they don't know enough. They don't know what to do with it all. It's like I talked about the people that earn in these private equity funds, hundreds of millions of dollars. You know, I really think that once you get down to a million or two, it's just hard to spend that kind of money. I mean, once you own three yachts and your own small Caribbean island, what do you need the rest of the money for? I guess for an extravagant bat mitzvah. But I just think it goes to people, one-upmanship themselves and others in America, number one. Number two, it goes to people who serve Republican regimes believing that the money they get is just cake. It's just icing. They don't think of it as taxpayer dollars. They say, hey, I got a friend, and he's a Republican, and he's high up in the Bush administration, and he's going to shower candy on me, and I'm just going to bathe myself in it with absolutely no compunction.
Imagine that, Mark. A war, for the God, for God's sakes, is a great big pinata that showers money on Republican greedmongers.
Exactly.
And this goes to what you were saying about being able to simply spout platitudes. I mean, I don't just say things; I bring things all together. In terms of just spouting platitudes, that's part of this. Eugene Finnerman created a phrase that has stuck with me all day. He said it takes, in order to do something like David Brooks did, it takes conscientious depravity. And that thing's just been rolling around inside my head all day long, just sort of absorbing the gravity of something like that. But in terms of the caricatures that you talked about when you were playing at being a right winger yesterday, that's at the heart and soul of it. You know, here I am. I've got all this money. I deserve it. Right. You know, it's whether one is fake Christian, fake Jewish, fake Buddhist, or fake Hindu, or fake atheist, for that matter.
Or Paris Hilton, for that matter.
It's positively Calvin.
She deserves every penny she inherited, I guess.
Yeah, it's Calvinist. God is smiling upon me because I am a member of the elect.
Right.
This wouldn't be happening if I did not deserve it. But the funny part of that is the way they respond when they get the other part of their just desserts, and that is, you know, the sealed indictment. And then it's, oh, woe is me, and everybody has to write letters to the judge, say, oh, please don't send him to prison. You know, it's like the letters that were received by the judge for Scooter Libby, the one that Mary Madeline wrote.
I know.
You know, he made Halloween costumes one night for our children in the bunker, and our children don't understand why Mr. Scooter has to go to prison. Well, Mr. Scooter has to go to prison, Mary, because he committed treason.
Yep. No, I know. And it's almost like when... It's not even just a matter of wealth. It's, you know, if people are sick and dying, well, you know, I guess it's their own fault.
Yeah, the poor ye have always with you. Yeah.
But when Falwell, one of the most wonderful things, if there exists a God, one of the best things God did is right after Falwell said that the Lord had renewed his contract for 10 years, he got bumped off. Yeah. I mean, that was just, way to go, God. That was great. And it just showed that, you know, there's some things that they can't buy. There's some things they can't control. And that, I don't know, there's something very nice about that.
Well, I just wanted to chime in on that because there's so much stuff that sort of fits together after your little Halloween program. And I'm just grateful to God, the Flying Spaghetti Monster or whatever, that only happens once a year because, you know, my ears were bleeding and leaking spinal fluid by the time that hour was over. It was just...
That's hilarious.
It was tough, Mark.
Sometimes April Fool's, too. Sometimes it's twice a year, but it tends to be actually people's favorite show. It's interesting. You know, I put all these up. The video is up on the web, and you can see me in my badly matched... suit and bow tie and I even wore.
Oh Jesus! There was a bow tie involved.
Of course there was. I was playing a role, Bob. I had to play it to the hilt. It was worse than a bow tie.
Okay.
I actually put,
okay. Fashion put moment. On. Fashion moment. Did we tie our own bow tie?
Yes, we do. Of course.
We know how to tie a bow tie. What else there do we not know about you, Mark Levine?
Board, Bob. You're going to hate this. You're going to really hate this. You know where I learned how to tie a bow tie?
I can't wait.
At Harvard.
At Harvard?
I did. When I was at Harvard College.
You know.
That's where I learned how to tie a bow tie.
You know where I learned how to tie a bow tie?
Where did you learn how to tie a bow tie?
From a marvelous old man named Saul at a men's store called Daniel's on High Street in Morgantown, West Virginia. I was in there browsing one day, and he says, come here. This is probably because... You ever try a bow tie? I said, no. He said, you'd look good with a bow tie. I said, I haven't the foggiest idea how to tie one, and I hear it's very difficult. He says, stand here. I'll have you tie on your own in 10 minutes.
Well, you know, that's how long it still takes me. It still takes me a good 10 minutes every time I try to tie a bow tie. You know, regular tie, men, we can all tie that in about 12 seconds.
Yeah.
But a bow tie, literally, I would just, even though I'm pretty good at it, still takes me 10 minutes, and usually I fail twice before I succeed the third time. So it's still.
Yeah, there's never enough. There's never enough bow ties. You know, Chris, that's because I've got a neck like a gorilla. So you know. You know, it winds up being, you know, all this neck and this little bitty bow.
Well, thanks for joining in.
Oh, my pleasure.
Glad you enjoyed the Halloween show. Like I said, it was actually surprisingly easy for me. I forget how easy it is to play the right winger because all you have to do is you don't have to think. You just spout the catchphrase. You're unpatriotic. You hate God. You hate America. You know, let the fetus live. That kind of thing. And it's really quite easy to do.
Well, I'll go away now. That sure was fun, though.
Well, it was fun, and I appreciate that. Let's take a quick break. When I come back, I've got more things to talk about on the Week in Review. I'm talking about Congress. Some things going on in the Middle East. You know, I always like to talk about those. And the fact that our Blackwater people are now escaping any consequences for killing people. What a surprise. 877-4HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. We'll be right back after this.
This is the Head On Radio Network. Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. I love to watch Republicans fight. They should charge for that. Take the exchange last week in Iowa between Rudy Giuliani and John McCain. The subject was waterboarding, and Giuliani gave the following answer to whether it constituted torture or not. It depends on how it's done, he said. And he added, it depends on who does it. Now, that's got to be the very definition of moral relativism. And fortunately, McCain called him on it. It is torture, McCain said flatly. It was used in the Spanish Inquisition. It was used in Pol Pot's genocide in Cambodia. McCain, who because of his background as a prisoner of war in Vietnam, has been one of the few Republicans to denounce the Bush administration for countenancing torture. But pathetic as it is, that might not fly with the Republican Party voters or with other Republican Party candidates. Almost all of them are falling over each other to show how ready they are to act out the part of Jack Bauer on 24. McCain, to his credit, recognizes this moral pit. Giuliani? He just wants to jump in it. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. It's the Week in Review. All topics are valid. If you want to call in and let me know what you thought of my Halloween show yesterday, please do. I'd like to hear from you. It's funny, I saw a number of you in the chat room actually thought I had switched parties. Come on! I hope you didn't. One of the things I tried to do after each break was at least let people know that this was all a game that we were playing. Tomorrow, of course, is the actual Halloween, and in honor of actual Halloween, I am doing a truly scary subject. No games tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to talk about global warming with an expert on global warming with the National Environmental Trust right here in Washington, D.C., and she's terrific. I think you'll really like Angela. She's very intelligent, and we're going to talk all the different scopes of it, everything from the fires in California to the Northwest Passage over the United States being free of Arctic ice, to melting in Antarctica, polar bears, environment, heating bills, Katrina and hurricanes. You have a question on global warming, you'll want to hear tomorrow's show, the real scary show for Halloween. Don't miss that. coming up, of course, 5 p.m. Eastern Time tomorrow. Whole bunch of little things left. Again, here's your last chance to call in, 877-4-HEAD-ON. One of the things I want to talk about is this waterboarding stuff. You know, I talk about torture all the time on this program. But it's very interesting to me what's going on here with Mukasey, the nominee, the judge, in fact, Judge Michael B. Mukasey, who George Bush is nominating to replace Alberto Gonzalez. Now, when the time came and Gonzalez finally resigned, something he should have done, you know, many, many months ago, the administration started to put in the Solicitor General, Ted Olson. Ted Olson, you may recall, was the lawyer for George Bush in the most celebrated, really the only coup d'etat in American history, the Supreme Court decision that decided that even though Al Gore got the most votes in the United States and Florida, we're not going to count the votes and instead install George Bush as president. That was our Supreme Court doing what other dictatorial courts have done before, the Supreme Soviet and Yugoslavia and North Korea and so forth. But it was one of the things that we didn't think would happen here. In any case, they were going to put Solicitor General Ted Olson in the job, and the Democrats said, now that's ridiculous. You want to take one political hack, Alberto Gonzalez, out and replace him with another political hack, Ted Olson. And so Bush backed down and put in Michael Mukasey, the federal judge, who was seen as somewhat of a moderate. And yet, compared to Alberto Gonzalez or Ted Olson, he is a moderate. But Michael Mukasey is still forced to defend the administration's policies. And even though George Bush says again and again and again, we don't torture, we don't torture, he fails to define what torture is. And so the Democrats, and to their credit, some Republicans too, like Arlen Specter and John McCain, have demanded a simple question. Michael Mukasey, is waterboarding torture, where you almost make someone drown? It gives them intense physical pain, mental pain. You basically just about asphyxiate somebody, and then you let them live. This has been torture since the Spanish Inquisition. People have been prosecuted for torture in America for doing this in the 1800s. We have prosecuted foreign countries for doing this kind of thing to our prisoners. It has been illegal under every single United States president until George Bush. When Michael Mukasey was asked, is waterboarding torture? He said, if it is torture, it's unconstitutional. And the Democrats said, we know that, Judge. Our question is it torture? And he said, well, I haven't studied it enough. You haven't studied it enough. You haven't studied it enough? Are you kidding me? We all know what waterboarding is. I mean, certainly any educated person does. All of you at the Horn know what waterboarding is. How come you, this very educated judge who wants to be Attorney General of the United States, don't know what waterboarding is? The real hesitation, of course, is that Mukasey wants to protect the president who he knows has already authorized waterboarding. So, to their credit, so far, many Democrats are standing firm. Hillary Clinton, to her credit, is standing firm. And they're saying, we don't want to approve this guy until he says that waterboarding is torture. So, thank God, at least on this matter, the Democrats are holding Mr. Mukasey to the fire. Now we've got Maylin from New Jersey. Maylin, one of my favorite callers. Welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Can you hear me?
I hear you fine. What's on your mind?
A lot of static here. What you had mentioned, in fact, I thought you had changed parties. It was sort of frightening because I really thought that you were... almost like I thought you'd lost your mind or something. But,
I'd gone crazy.
I came in sort of just 2 minutes of maybe 10 or 15 minutes later. But I knew it was that. I think it was that man that you always have on that I can't stand.
Mike Lane.
I knew that had something to do with it. So then I figured it was a joke.
Well, you figure when he was playing the role of the Democrat.
It was very hard for me to follow after a while because your mind, you had to keep taking things and saying, Mark, really, what doesn't mean that, you know? So, anyway.
What I did
also,
was... At the,
are you
yeah,
still
go ahead.
There?
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead.
Yeah, because I can't hardly hear you. Can I change subjects in regard to
global
warming?
Go right ahead. Yeah.
This morning on the PBS... Was no, was BBC. They were talking. They had a research group, which was like a government study group, and they were saying all the good points about the fact when global warming would first start is that it would be beneficial because there would be areas of the world which were too cold, and they would be able to grow things where they hadn't been able to grow things before. And
that's a silver lining way to look at it.
In the longer run, it wouldn't work out very well. But I didn't know whether or not you were going to be doing this tomorrow. I didn't know whether or not you had any information from that BBC report that was done. And
it seemed to have
a slant towards the government because it didn't mention much about any of the efforts. It was the efforts that were made they were talking about that Bush had done, but and yet they weren't really much of an effort at all. And
I'll tell you what,
sort of like a corporation type of influence on it. You know what I'm saying?
I tell you, Maylon, why don't you post the article on my website so that I can look at it and that everyone else can look at it? And I promise I will look at it before tomorrow.
I'll see if I can find it.
I may be able to find it myself too.
I
like to ask.
Barely hear you.
Okay, if you want to hang up, that's go ahead. I'll just
look
respond
to that then.
I appreciate that. Thanks for calling in, Maylon. I really appreciate that. And by the way, folks, anytime you have a source, usually I post my show, the topics. Usually I get to it a day beforehand. Sometimes even a few days beforehand. Sometimes only a few hours beforehand. But usually, you know in advance what I'm going to talk about. If you have a good article, or you have a good insight, or you have a question to my guest about the topic coming up, just go to RadioInsideScoop.com, post your link. By the way, if it's a link, I have to approve it, and that's just to prevent spam. So don't be surprised when it doesn't appear right away. You'll get a couple hours, it will appear. And I'll take a look at your links, I'll take a look at your questions, I'll ask my guests those questions. One of the things I like to do, even with guests I agree with, and I think Angela tomorrow is a terrific guest, but I'm going to ask her tough questions, and if those tough questions are found in the BBC article, I want to ask her those questions. And the reason I do that, just so you know, is not because I disagree, all right? I certainly think global warming is a tremendous and awful problem. But I think it's important to ask even people I agree with tough questions because your conservative friends, or if you don't have any conservative friends, at least the ones you work with, because you can't help those colleagues at the water cooler, may say something silly like, oh, well, you know, global warming isn't that big a deal, or it's happening, but it's not a corporation's fault. That's the newest thing that the right wing is saying. It's happening, but it's not our fault. It's just sort of natural. Or like Malin said, well, hey, it means that we get better crops in Greenland, so it's a good thing. If they say those kinds of things, you're going to want to know a really good, strong, scientific, informed, expert answer. So I'm going to ask her tough questions tomorrow, but I know she can handle it, and I know you can handle it too. So I hope you'll tune in tomorrow. I just with all that's going on in California and the fires, we really need to get good insight into exactly what's going on with global warming, and I think you'll get that. And I think it's also good for Halloween because, honestly, it is the scariest thing that we have going on right now. I mean, the war is scary, don't get me wrong, and the possibility of invading Iran is scary too. But in terms of a long-term problem, I mean, George Bush, thank God, in a year and 2 months and, I don't know, 20 days, just about, I'm counting, he'll be gone. And hopefully we'll have a Democratic president. And, you know, we'll start to repair. It'll take decades, but we'll start to come out from under the huge hole that he dug us in. But things like global warming, I mean, that's worldwide. That's long-term. That really is a very scary thing. Well, I appreciate that some of you were scared, though, by me yesterday. Peter writes that I scared him. And Bob said that I was actually persuasive, which is actually really scary. I was trying to be so over the top that I was actually hindering my own arguments, much in the way that Stephen Colbert does. He pretends to be an extreme right-winger in a way that makes the right wing look bad. But apparently I was convincing, which is really very scary. One thing I said that I would talk about that I haven't talked about yet is the Blackwater investigation. As you know, or as you should know, the Blackwater Company, which is a company that made less than $1 million when George Bush took office, and makes over $1 billion today, largely in no-bid contracts, largely protecting the security of State Department officials when they wander in Iraq and around the globe. As you probably know, they had a shootout with a number of Iraqi civilians. Well, you really can't call it a shootout because the Iraqi civilians didn't shoot at them. They just shot at the Iraqi civilians and killed more than a dozen of them. Well, they're not punishable under Iraqi law because we wrote the Iraqi law. Our guy in charge, Bremer, said, hey, you know, we can't charge Blackwater officials, which is pretty good for them. And they're not liable under American law, largely because good old President gave them immunity. Well, now they're not necessarily liable to even tell the truth. It appears that they have gotten immunity from the State Department for all their statements about how they killed the civilians. And this is not the only example of the State Department run by good old Condoleezza Rice, who's basically trying to do their best to hide the ball. Now, Condoleezza Rice, I think, gets, I don't know, I think she gets somewhat of a pass sometimes, perhaps because she's an African-American woman, perhaps because she's not one of the more strident people like Dick Cheney or Karl Rove. But it's important to see. I mean, she's a very intelligent woman, and she's doing a lot of dirty stuff in the background. And let me just give you an example. I mentioned at the first part of the hour, my favorite, one of my favorite members of Congress is Henry Waxman, chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, a Democrat from Los Angeles who is doing his best to really give tremendous oversight. He's the one that brought Valerie Plame and the controversy over Pat Tillman and the prosecutors and all the times that you know, the White House would change documents and so forth and pollute the air. I mean, he's really very good. One of the things that he wanted to find out was whether the Iraqi government
This is the Quality News Network. Democrats are deciding on whether or not to approve $50 billion to $70 billion for the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. That's less than half of President Bush's $196 billion. The Iraqi cabinet is preparing to vote on a law to lift immunity for foreign private security companies. The law follows reports that the U.S. State Department promised Blackwater bodyguards immunity from prosecution in its investigation over a shooting last month that killed 17 Iraqi civilians. By an overwhelming majority, lawmakers voted to extend a moratorium on internet taxes for 7 years. The bill also includes legislation that prohibits taxation on email and instant